For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. Now you know he's not talking about Jesus there. Talking about the Old Testament high priest. Verse 1. Verse 4. And no man taketh his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We'll do well to get through these six verses this morning. So, beginning at verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men, the Old Testament high priest was taken from among men. No angel came down to be their high priest. No supernatural being, no. Just a common man with a special calling from God. So the Old Testament high priest was taken from among men, verse 1, and he was ordained for men to serve men in things pertaining to God. Now that word ordained is the same word used in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, when they said, choose you out seven men full of the Holy Ghost, a good report, and appoint them over this business. The word appoint is the same as ordained, and many times that same Greek word is translated made. He was made high priest, ordained. So he was ordained for men in things pertaining to God. He was appointed by God for men. And he was to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That was his responsibility, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. And then in verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant? He had to be able to have compassion on the unknowledgeable, the inexperienced. He had to have compassion on the ignorant. He had to be able to have compassion on them that were out of the way. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? It's good to be in the way. Sometimes we get off the track. We get out of the way. We need a high priest. And I love this subject. He must be able to have compassion on the ignorant. He must be able to have compassion on them that are out of the way. And so God chose not an angel, not a supernatural being. God chose a man to be a priest for men because he could relate to men. But we had a problem in the Old Testament. We had a problem with the Old Testament priesthood. We had a problem with the Old Testament high priesthood. And the problem was that every one of the priests were sinners themselves. So, verse 3 says, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, and he's talking about the Old Testament high priest, so also for himself to offer for sins. We'll study that later on in the book of Hebrews, where Jesus never had to offer for himself because he never had any sin to offer a sin sacrifice for, only for you and for me. And so, because the Old Testament high priest was not without sin himself, he had to offer, not only for the sins of the people, but for his own sins. We're making good time. We're in verse 4 already. Verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now we'll be slowing down for a while. In other words, what he's saying here is, no man could just arbitrarily choose to become a high priest. What are you going to be when you grow up? Jacob, Adam, Abraham, whoever your Jewish name is. What are you going to be? I want to be a high priest. What tribe are you from? I'm from Issachar. You can't be a high priest. Don't try it. I'm from the tribe of Reuben, and I want to be a priest. You can't do it. I'm from the tribe of Simeon. I want to be a priest, a high priest. You can't do it. You can't do it. This was a special calling, and it was limited to the tribe of Levi and a high priest, the sons of Aaron. So no man could choose to become a high priest. God made that choice. They didn't ask you in high school in those days, what are you going to be when you grow up? You know, one boy said, I'm going to be a man like my dad. Praise the Lord. But you couldn't go to the class counselor and have your life planned out for you. No. No, you could not be a high priest unless you were a descendant of Aaron. And it says here also in this verse that it was an honor to be a high priest. Just like it says, he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing. But it's different today. So, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Was Aaron called of God? Yes, Aaron was called of God. I think it probably begins somewhere around Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, and I'll read it. And take thou, this is God speaking, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Now, if you want to open your Bibles in the Old Testament to Numbers, I think this is very important myself, that Christians understand some of these basic fundamental truths from Holy Scripture. Because the Bible says, no man taketh his honor unto himself. God says, the man that tries it is going to have trouble with him. And so we read here in Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to read for about 4.5 minutes or so. So just listen to this story. A few people, and we have their history recorded in the Scriptures, have attempted to take this honor that they were warned not to take upon themselves, but they tried to take it upon themselves anyway. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. I mean, you know, these guys have got their degrees, and these are educated men, and these are important people in high places. You know, how do you withstand people like this? Well, the best thing to do is, when somebody like that gets saved, is just turn the church over to them. That's not what Moses did, because he had his orders from God. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron, God's choice, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Who do you think you are? Better than the rest of the church. That's not the point. They didn't think they were better than the rest of the church. They were suffering more than the rest of the church was suffering. The rest of Israel was suffering. That wasn't it. It was that God had chosen them. We better leave alone what God has chosen. Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves among the congregation of the Lord. Now that's really a great revelation, you know. And you get people coming through every once in a while that kind of have this same attitude in the New Testament. Well, they're going to educate the church. Tell everybody that everybody's equal, and there's no such thing as a order in the church, a God's order, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You know, something to say. And so they would do away with the church structure. Okay? So, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he had chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them, and he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? which God made special choice of. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. What's Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or giveth us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense therein, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Showdown. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Moses rose up, went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Well, it's quite a story, and it's a true story. There are a lot of people today that are defying the word of God. And when Jesus comes and hell opens her mouth wide, you hear them screaming as they fall into the pit of hell, saying, I didn't believe it. I didn't know it was true, you know. And they find out now it is true, and it's too late to do anything about it. It doesn't pay to challenge God. If God says there's a hell, there's a hell. If God says there's a heaven, there's a heaven. If God says some people are going to occupy hell, then some people are going to occupy hell. If God says heaven's going to be filled with praising, worshiping people, then heaven's going to be filled with praising, worshiping people. You can believe, you can trust the word of God. So now just turn to the next chapter, chapter 17, and find out how the Lord confirmed Aaron's appointment to the high priesthood supernaturally, 17:1. Exodus 17:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers, and thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. Now here's a stick off a tree. You know, you're going through the woods, and here's a dead stick. There's no leaves on it, no life in it. It's just a dead stick, a rod. And God says, the rod that I choose will blossom, and I, without being planted in the ground. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel and every one of their princes, gave him a rod apiece for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness, and it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. That's some story. Now, when you read in Hebrews 9, it says, there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the Ten Commandments. How about that? God's got quite a memory. Let me read you one more story before we go on. And that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You might be surprised at this story, but it's here. It's here in the Bible. Just to show you how serious God was when he said, no man taketh this honor unto himself. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. Okay, 2 Chronicles 26, beginning at verse 16. Now, we're talking about a king. We're talking about a king of Judah who was probably king from 1809 to 757 B.C. We're talking about a man who was king for... Well, his dad was murdered, and he became king, vacated his father's throne. Occupied his father's vacated throne at age 16, and was king for 52 years. And he was a good man. He served the Lord with fear and kept up the true worship of God in Israel. Here's a good man. We're not talking about some vacillating in and out, up and down, backsliding person. No. But he had such success for all these years that, just listen to this, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You see, I've pastored here going on 21 years. Just think. Another 21, 31, 41, 50, another 31 years, and I will have been here as long as Uzziah was king of Judah. And just think, reading this, I can learn that I'm still vulnerable, that I've got to keep myself in the Lord. I can't trust myself. I have to trust God. That's what we talked about when we talked about our high priest. Listen, I had a songbook here, and I had a concordance here, and I had a full accordion case here. And the old tempter would come along and knock any one of us over. None of us are so strong that the devil can't knock us over. We're only strong when we're behind that wall. And the wall is Jesus, if you remember the demonstration last week. We're only strong when we're in Christ. We're not strong outside of Christ. But here's what happened. Uzziah, good man. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. And you know what he did? He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now here is a man of the tribe of Judah taking on what God had limited to the tribe of Levi. And so he goes into the temple and he's going to burn incense unto the Lord, which was the priest's duty. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah. I don't think they were mad at the king. I think they were zealous of the house of the Lord. It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron. Have you forgotten what God has said? Have you forgotten God's choice in this matter? to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. He had a censer already in his hand, and he was heading for that altar of incense, and he was going to burn that incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, shoving them aside, making his way to that altar of incense, I'm going to do my thing. I'm the king here. Who do you think you are? Little man called of God. And while he was wroth with the priests, leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. That shows you how serious God is about his written word. If he says it, period, that's it. Don't challenge God. Don't try to change his word. It's how many are doing that today, trying to change his word to fit their program, their personal beliefs, or their personal desires? How many churches today are not preaching baptism in Jesus' name? Because it's more convenient for them to dip their water in finger and sprinkle somebody than to get them soaked and sopped and wet from head to toenails. But that's not the gospel. That's not the Bible. The word baptism means to immerse, to overwhelm, to make fully wet. Yet we have people, for their own convenience, that are developing their own teaching and their own doctrine. It won't work. It won't work. God's going to have to say to them, hey, I'm no respecter of persons. What I did to King Uzziah, I'm going to have to do to you. What I did to Korah, I'm going to have to do to you. Or I'm not God. I change not. Amen. And people preaching against the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, when it's clearly taught in Holy Scripture and as clearly experienced by people who believe the Holy Scripture. And obey the Holy Scripture. The Bible says repent. One preacher, big preacher, influential preacher across this nation, on television, I read about him. He said, you don't have to repent. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I thought to myself, brother, you are a blind leader of the blind. You're in the ditch. Everybody following you, tumbling in on top of you. That's a shame. That's a shame. So, let's not challenge God. Let's not try to change his word. Amen. To fit our program. Praise God. If it says it, let's do it.
Yes.
Amen. Whatever it says, let's do it. Amen. Jesus, back to... Well, I've been in Hebrews so much, I just hope my Bible falls open to Hebrews. Hebrews... Chapter 5 again. For every priest taken from among men is ordained by God to serve men in the office of the high priesthood. They might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion? It's got to be a man, a human being. They might have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now let's go to verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. See? The Bible teaches, I think, that the Bible teaches, Jesus never glorified himself. In fact, John 12:28 says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I, that's God talking, have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus never glorified himself. God glorified him. Jesus never honored himself. John 8:54 says, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. Jesus never exalted himself. We just read it, Hebrews 5:5. But he that said unto me, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And that's taken from Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. Jesus never exalted himself. He never honored himself. He never glorified himself. especially to be made a high priest. But he says, he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, praise the Lord. So the father exalted him. The father said, thou art my son, praise the Lord. So the father exalted the son, Philippians 2, 8 and 9. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is our high priest, not by usurpation. He didn't usurp the high priesthood from the tribe of Levi, or from Aaron and his offspring. No, no, no. Jesus is our high priest by divine appointment. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now look at verse 6. As he saith also in another place. And that other place is probably one of the most quoted Old Testament verses in the New Testament. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's a mighty big statement, because Melchizedek is only mentioned once in the story in Genesis. Genesis 14:18. Well, anyway, that settles it. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is called of God. He's legitimate. He's not after the order of Aaron. He's after another order, that of Melchizedek. Now, Jesus is our high priest. Did he meet all the qualifications of a high priest? He certainly did. He was taken from among men. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as you would think he did, but he didn't. He didn't come as God. He came as man. Unto us, born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, a man, a person, flesh and blood and bones, a baby. Amen. So he was taken from among men. Though he was God, he became a man. And by the way, folks, he wasn't half God and half man. That's been taught in churches a whole lot bigger than this. Churches 10 times bigger than this. Thousands of members. This doctrine was taught that God was, he got half his genes from his mother, and because God was his father, he got half his genes from his father. His father doesn't have genes. His father's a spirit. He wasn't half God and half man. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. There was nothing of God missing in him. There was nothing of man missing in him. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's what it says. Isaiah 53 tells us about a man who came and suffered and suffered and suffered. A man. Luke 2:40 tells us, and the child grew. So we're talking about a human being, a person. He didn't come as God. He came as man. God can't die. He came to die. God can't bleed. He came to bleed. Man, he was thirsty. He understands our thirst. He was hungry. He understands our hunger. He got so tired he slept in a boat. He understands our weariness, our tiredness. He was weary at Jacob's well. Being weary, he sat thus on the well, high noon. He was still a soul winner. Amen. He prayed. He got up earlier than we do and prayed. He prayed all night, longer than we do. He prayed till he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. He prayed more intensely than we do. He was human. He was a man. He suffered. He bled. He died. Hallelujah. And that man, if you'd allow me the pleasure of telling you how and when I believe Psalm 110:4 was fulfilled, let me enjoy that. I enjoy my thinking on that. I really do. And you can take it for what it's worth and believe it like you will. But the Bible says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When was that fulfilled? When did Jesus hear those words spoken directly to him? Thou art a priest forever. Now the Bible says if he was on earth, he should not be a priest. For we have priests according to the law. He's the priesthood was of the tribe of Levi. You didn't have two simultaneous priesthoods. Priesthood. And he was of the tribe of Judah. And his priesthood was not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who we will study in a later lesson. But anyway, I enjoy thinking about and trying to figure out when God said to Jesus, thou art a priest forever. The Old Testament priests were priests until they died. But here it says you're a priest forever. Their priesthood failed because they died. By reason of death, the Bible says they continued not. But Jesus, because he liveth forever, can save us to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel saved. Why shouldn't I? I have a Savior. I have a priest. A high priest. A great high priest. A wonderful great high priest. So here he is. He was taken from among men. A human being, as I described so poorly. And he lived an absolutely sinless life. Sinless. Then 2 Corinthians 13:4 says they took him and crucified him, and he was crucified in weakness. He was weak. He was thirsty on the cross. He was tired. He had a sleepless night before that. He was suffering from lack of sleep. You can be sure. He had suffered merciless beatings. And he had sweat as it were great drops of blood besides the blood that he lost from the wounds inflicted upon him. Loss of much blood. The Bible says he was crucified in weakness. And yet, in that weak state, while he probably fell under the load of the cross, and another man carries his cross for him, he takes that body, that sacrifice. Not an animal sacrifice, but a sacrifice with a conscience, something an animal didn't have. And a pure conscience, a perfect conscience, guiltless conscience. And he walked up to Calvary. And there he offered that perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He died, he expired on the cross, and then they buried him. He's in the grave for those 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the Bible says. Then the third day, he arose from the grave. And after he arose from the grave, he walked around and appeared here and there and proved himself alive after many infallible proofs for those 40 days, not to the world, although Herod would have liked to have seen it. Pilate probably would have liked to have seen him. Maybe other great people would have liked to. Maybe some other unbelievers would have liked to have said, show me and I'll believe. No, he appeared to his chosen ones, to his friends, and he proved himself alive after many infallible proofs. And now, he's standing on the side of a mountain between heaven and earth. Oh. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Have you ever stood there? And looked ahead and then looked back? Oh, praise God, I got to preach on that. But now it's time for his entrance into heaven. And while he's standing on the Mount called Olivet, he spoke these final words to his disciples. You shall receive power. He said, if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost won't come. I'm going away, and the Holy Ghost will come. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me. The next verse says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He's going up. They're watching. The cloud envelops him. He disappears in the cloud and he's gone. The scene on earth is those disciples, those people gathered there on the side of the mountain. And on the other shore, what are we hearing? Is it possible that Psalm 24:9 fits here? Which says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I personally envision heaven standing at attention. Angels lined up in serried ranks, waiting for his entrance. Who was in that lineup? The angels that ministered to him in the wilderness when he was tempted of the devil. There appeared an angel to him strengthening him. That angel that had watched his whole life standing there waiting for his entrance into heaven. Heaven had never been occupied by people before, by men. No. You know who else was there? The angel that ministered to him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was so weak he could hardly carry out the plan of salvation. An angel appeared to him strengthening him. That angel's in that lineup waiting for him to come. They're waiting for his arrival. The scene on earth, they're watching him being carried away. The scene in heaven, they're watching him come in. And then in an instant, Jesus arrives in heaven. The first time that a man was ever in heaven. No man hath ascended into heaven. No man hath ascended into heaven save the Son of Man. Hallelujah. So here he is. He lands in heaven. And I think that I can hear a voice reverberating throughout all eternity. After the order of Melchizedek. Now you and I can have confidence in our salvation. Now we can know that somebody didn't die and just stay in a grave and say that he died for us and somebody stole his body. Now we can know of a surety that we have a high priest who will minister for us. For us. Can you believe that? For us. Those priests served the people. Jesus is serving us. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us.
Amen.
Oh, let's stand.